very happy Mother's Day to all of our moms that are here today. We're just praying that today is going to be a great blessing for you. We're here to, first of all, honor and worship Jesus Christ, who deserves all of our worship, all of our praise. Amen? But we're also here today to pay special tribute to all of our moms, whether you're a stepmom or a mom, or if you have any classification under motherhood, we're going to honor you here today, just so. And we hope you leave here today with a smile on your face and some joy in your heart. That's what we want to accomplish today. So thank you for being a part of this. Those of you who are watching on Facebook, a very happy Mother's Day to all of our moms. May you be truly blessed by the songs that you hear today and the words that you hear proclaimed from God's eternal word, that God would work all things together to bring glory to Christ and advance the kingdom in our hearts and our lives. Does that make sense? I hope that's a good word. Would you stand with me, please? And let's ask God's blessing upon his service, and then we're going to remain standing as we sing praise to him this morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for today, for your love and your grace and your mercy that is ours to experience, for your faithfulness to us, Lord Jesus, in every situation and circumstance that comes our way in life. You are our life. You're our hope. You're our healer, Lord Jesus. You direct our paths. Guide us, protect us, touch us, heal us, help us. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Some way, somehow, I pray, each of us today, Father, would have an opportunity to connect or maybe reconnect with the reality of who you are. Lord, as we sing praise to you, may the words of these songs touch us deep in our heart. May the eternal word of God touch us deep in the heart. Bless our moms today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this precious gift that you've given us. And Father, may all of us be able to say, my, it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord this day. As we turn our hearts to you, as we focus upon you, work all things together, I pray, for your glory and the advancement of your kingdom. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Remain standing and let's sing some great hymns of the church. His amazing grace. Without his grace, none of us would be here today. Amen? Let's sing it together. Sing it like you mean it, okay? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Absolutely wonderful, but aren't you thankful for his faithfulness to us? Moment by moment, day by day, let's sing about that right now. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of thee. Father,
few moments to stand right where you are and extend to one another that West Olive wave that you do so well. We'll do the same to those that are watching on Facebook, and then you may be seated.
Okay, a couple of announcements. Task force meeting is Tuesday, May 11th at 6 p.m. at the church. We have a couple save the dates here, and there's a golf outing if you want to go to that. Also, there are children's bulletins in the back. Through popular request, I now have 5 children's bulletins of the age 3 and age 7 in the back. You can pick them up. And they're also in the email bulletin. Anybody who wants a bulletin can contact the website, and you can find the bulletin secretary thing there, so you can get a bulletin in your email. So that's it. I'll turn it over to Rhett.
Just for those that don't know, we have a prayer room in the basement, and after church, we will be open to pray for anyone who wants personal prayer. And if you want a longer session, there's my telephone numbers in the bulletin, so you can just call me and set up an appointment for sometime during the week. So, Lord, we just ask you today to, it's spring, and people are not paying attention as well when they're driving, and we ask you to protect the children going to school and coming home. We ask you to protect the bus drivers. We ask you to bless and protect the teachers. As they try to wade through the end of the school year and get as much knowledge into the kids' head as possible. Are there any other prayer requests or praises? Go ahead, Kelly. Tina is in the hospital with ketoacidosis, so asking prayers for her.
Remember, B, again, she's not, she didn't show any signs of the COVID, all right, but she's dealing with a sciatic nerve that's giving her some fits. So pray that God's healing hand rest upon her.
Okay, and continue praying for the Rankama family in their losses and Marv's fight with cancer. And continue praying for Cal's family and their losses lately.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. And what was your name? Tracy. Thank you so much. Thank you, God. Tracy's prayers and Bob's prayers have been answered. She has now found medication that works for her back pain. Anyone else? Okay, thank you.
Let's sing together, Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly.
Father, we just thank you for everything you do for us. We thank you for touching our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our souls, and our bodies. Thank you for the healing that you bring to us, Lord, when we ask. Thank you for answered prayers. Lord, again, we ask you to bless the teachers, bus drivers, and children. Keep them safe. Help them to finish out the school year well. And Lord, we just thank you for Tracy and her praise this morning and the healing of her back. We bring up B to you and ask you to continue healing her and setting her free from her sickness. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every one of us in our congregation and our families and those we intercede for, and heal them also, Lord. Heal us from COVID, heal us from cancer, and any other things that are going on in our bodies, Lord. And many of us are suffering from allergies, Lord, and it's debilitating. It brings down our immune system. So we ask you to just heal us from that, Lord, and to boost our immune system so we can fight off anything that comes our way. Lord, we ask you to bless the lonely. There's many that are in nursing homes and shut-ins. And Lord, we ask you to just let them know that you are with them, that if they can't be visited by loved ones or friends, that you are always with them, Lord. And there's many others that are lonely, Lord. And put it on our hearts to bring a dish, bring something to eat, send a card, make a call. You often speak to us, Lord, with a nudge and just bring someone's name to our mind. So help us to listen to you for that whisper, Lord, to reach out to them, Father. Heal our land, Father. Lord, we ask you for protection on the southern border, and our hearts go out to all those families that are traveling, all those children that are scared and lonely and are caught up in the system. Lord, we ask you to protect everyone traveling, and they're coming regardless, Lord, so protect them, keep them safe. So thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing, and thank you for answered prayers. In the name of Jesus, amen.
How many had one of those when you were little? How many still have that? Ava, do you have one of those? What's your teddy bear's name? What's that? What's her most favorite one? I know she's got about 30 of them. Come on, Ava, speak up. What is it? Her owl. Cool. How many had one of those that you named it Teddy? How about Theodore? How about Roswell? Ron, what'd you name your teddy bear? Buddy. Love it. Absolutely love it. Took that thing wherever you went. Outside to play, slept with it, took a bath with it. If that teddy bear looked anything like my son had a Burt doll, all right, that was sewed up about 18 times, missing an eye, and we gave it to him at his wedding. That was cool. All right. Anyway, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus continues to teach us about the Beatitudes. And he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And I'm using the Message as a parallel to help us understand the full content of what Jesus is trying to teach us. And the Message says this: you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. When something we cherish is no longer there, it leaves a vast opportunity and a vast opening for the one who is most dear to us, the one who loves us more than we can ever comprehend. And so let's be encouraged by that, all right? All is not lost if we lose something close to us. But more than that, it leaves an opening for the one who loves us more than we can ever comprehend to have more accessibility to us. And also, we need to understand that God has told us we shall not place anything of more importance than He in our lives. Does that make sense? So let's make sure that the Lord is number one. And I just got to tell you, He will be closer to you than any teddy bear that you've ever have or ever will have in your life. Amen? Stand with me if you would please, and let's sing together, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Well, today I want to draw our attention back to Luke chapter 2, and the focus character is going to be Mary, the mother of Jesus. What a greater example. Amen? And so in Luke 2, 4 through 7, we read these words, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And again, before anything else transpires, I simply want to express to every mother here, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, in these moments that lie ahead, I pray that your Holy Spirit would especially just touch and encourage our moms that are here today. Father, bless them. Remind them of your great love for them. Encourage them. Fill them with all they stand in need of, I pray. Touch their hearts, their minds, their bodies, and their souls. Father, we cherish them today. They are a cherished gift from you. And Father, we just ask a special blessing upon them. And then each one also who are here today, joining in, proclaiming you as Savior and receiving from you your eternal word. For all things, Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, this message comes to each mother who is here today or is watching today. My desire is that it will be a blessing to you as well as an encouragement, to be that outstanding mother that God himself has called you and equipped you to be. I believe you're going to be moved in a great way today. And one of the wonderful things of life is something called humor. And I think you'll get a chuckle out of these. A story is told of an eight-year-old little girl, Mary, who wrote her mother a little note on Mother's Day. And she writes the following, which said, "Dear Mother, here is the box of candy that I bought for you on Mother's Day. By the way, Mom, it's very good candy. I know because I've already had 3 pieces." And then the little 8-year-old girl, Carol, writes a note to her mother, which says, "Dear Mother, here are 2 aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day." And then 6-year-old Johnny, along with his 4-year-old sister, Susie, presented their mom with a Mother's Day present. It was a small, spindly houseplant. While it wasn't the finest-looking specimen, they had bought it with their own money, and their mother was extremely thrilled by the gift. She hugged each of them and kissed them and told them that she loved them very much for thinking of her. And then Johnny said, "There were some other flowers we wanted to buy for you, Mom, but we didn't have enough money." "Yes," said Sister Susie. They had a real nice bunch of flowers at the shop that we were going to buy. "But I love this plant," said Mom. "I know, Mom," said Johnny, "but these flowers would have been perfect for you. They were in a wreath that had a ribbon which said, 'Rest in peace,' on it. And you're always asking for a little peace so that you can get some rest, huh?" Praise God for little children. Amen. Next slide, please, John, if you would. I want you to understand that giving birth does not make a woman a mother. It takes a special woman to be a mother. A mother is a person who is willing to take the responsibilities of investing her life into another human being who is totally dependent upon her. That's powerful. And I also want us to take a glimpse at Mary's life. Yes, Mary was found in favor with God, and God used her as a beautiful example. But we need to understand that Mary was living in the reality of life, and every one of us find ourselves in the reality of life. And it's in the midst of the ups and the downs, the highs, the lows, and the plateaus that our trust in God enables us to be that all he's asked us to be. Not one of us has a perfect life. But life can be perfect with God. That's the wonderful thing. So just bear with me here as we just take a little snippet of the reality of Mary's life with Joseph, all right? First of all, Mary was a teenage girl who became pregnant by the Holy Spirit while she was pledged to be married to Joseph. This great scandal could have brought her death. She could have been stoned to death because of this very fact. Mary was forced from her home to register for taxation. Mary was extremely pregnant, traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. While it was not a real long distance, travel in those days was rough, and she's ready to deliver a child. She gave birth to Jesus in a cave with animals, not the Hotel Hilton down the road across the street, all right? Mary was exiled to Egypt to avoid Herod killing Jesus. Mary returned to Nazareth with Joseph to live, watch this, in the low-rent district of that town. They were not rich by any means. In fact, history tells us that they grew up in the slum area of Nazareth. You see, there was no silver spoon living here with Mary and Joseph. Just the necessities needed for raising outstanding children. And I believe within the context of their home, there was love in their house. There was always food on the table. Mary made sure Jesus had clean clothes and there was shelter from the elements. I'm here to tell you that those four things are ideal necessities and all an individual needs to have a great life. Just saying, all right? She was separated from her son when he turned 30. That's when he went off to do his earthly ministry. And she witnessed his beating and execution 3 years thereafter. I'm here to tell you that motherhood for Mary was no bed of roses. And I know that motherhood from every mother here has not been a bed of roses. What makes the difference is what we're going to talk about today. Three necessities. Three necessities, if you have them in your life, you will be blessed. You'll be blessed by God as an outstanding mother. And you will be looked upon as an outstanding mother. So if you're ready with your outline, let's embark upon this thing and see what we can learn. First of all, we're talking about the necessities for becoming an outstanding mother. And the first one is this. Back it up, John. You were right. Back it up just one. There you go. It's a personal relationship with God. That is paramount. You must have a personal relationship with God. I'm going to go off track just a little bit into the New Testament to 2 Timothy. Paul talks to Timothy about the reality of the power of motherhood that existed within his life, okay? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, we read, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, watch this, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. I want us to look at the power of a personal relationship with God which carries on from generation to generation. First of all, it existed in Timothy's grandmother, Lois, who in her faithfulness in a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God, passed that on to where her daughter, Eunice, embraced that personal relationship. And then Eunice, the mother of Timothy, passed it on to her son. Three generations of faithful service to God enabled this family to experience the necessity needed to be an outstanding grandmother and an outstanding mother, who then passed it on to a son and grandson, Timothy. That's good stuff, isn't it? Huh? The following words remind me of two young women who have the responsibility of raising our grandchildren. And so if Tara's watching today, this is for you. If Kristen's watching today, this is for you. And I just want you to know that I took some literary license to make it applicable for this illustration. But here it is. It's entitled, These Little Ones Who Follow Me. A careful mother I ought to be, for little ones are following me. I do not dare to go astray for fear that they will go the self same way. I cannot once escape their eyes. Whatever they see me do, they will also try. Like me, they say they are going to be those little ones who follow me. They think that I am good and fine, believe in every word of mine. The base in me they must not see, those little ones, or these little ones who follow me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I am building for the years to be for those little ones who follow me. Wow. The power of a personal relationship with God and how it impacts those whom you've been blessed to raise. Hey, now let's take a look at Mary's personal relationship with God and see the strength and the power that's there, okay? And it's there on the screen for us. First of all, Mary had a personal relationship with God which was confirmed. It was confirmed by her spiritual integrity. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30, the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Something about Mary's heart that God was pleased with, and his favor was upon her. Second of all, Mary had a personal relationship with God which was not only confirmed by her spiritual integrity, but it was revealed in her hunger for God, her hunger for God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, Mary said to the angel, "May it be to me as you have said. All I want, God, is what you have proclaimed." That was her desire in her personal relationship with God. And then Mary had a personal relationship with God, which was expressed in her enjoyment in the presence of God. In Luke 1, 46 and 47, Mary said the following, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." First and foremost, the first and foremost necessity of being that outstanding mother is to have a personal relationship with God. The second necessity is this. Next slide, please, John. It's a proper relationship. Having a proper relationship with her family. Love your family. Mary, first of all, supported her husband's leadership. We see that in action, okay? And as I looked at this, I just wondered what the initial conversation would have been like for Mary and Joseph after they had both been visited by the angel. Remember, the angel came to Mary and said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God." All right, that's what the Bible tells us. And then Joseph, the Bible tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. Notice that the Bible doesn't say that Joseph was a religious man. Joseph was a righteous man. In both cases, we see the reality of these individuals' hearts. Mary's heart was right with God. Joseph's heart was right with God. Their desire was to please God in all things. In spite of what everyone around them was seeing, God was at work deep in their hearts and their lives. And Mary was following Joseph as God desired her to follow his leadership. Second of all, a proper relationship with her family. Mary taught her children discipline in honor of God. She taught her children discipline. Now, she had more children than just Jesus, okay? Jesus had some earthly brothers and sisters. Hey, we'll get to Paul Harvey on that when we get to heaven and see Jesus forever and ever and get the lowdown on Jesus when he was just a little guy. Larry, I guarantee it's all going to be good, all right? It's all going to be good, okay? In Luke 2, 39 and 40, the Bible says, "When Joseph and Mary had done everything required of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Joseph and Mary taught Jesus according to God's law, all right? Now you need to understand, everything just didn't go hunky-dory. You know, there's a plink, 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 plink. If you go back to Matthew, you read that soon after Jesus was born, after he was dedicated at the temple, Mary and Joseph exiled to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. So they pack up everything they have on their donkey and off to Egypt they go. And after Herod's death, they returned from Egypt and wound up settling in Nazareth. And then, as custom of a faithful Jewish family, each year they would go up to the temple, year after year after year. They'd go up to the temple for Passover. Well, when Jesus is 12 years old, they go back up to the temple. They celebrate the Passover. They load up and they head back to Nazareth thinking that Jesus was in the company of a family, a distant family, relative, cousin, or something. And Jesus is nowhere to be found. And they scour around for 3 days to find Jesus. And where do they find him? They find him at the temple in Jerusalem, listening to the scribes and asking questions. And then in Luke 2, 51 and 52, then he, Jesus, after Mary had confronted him, after Joseph had confronted him, "What are you up to?" And Jesus' response was, "Did you know that I had to be in my father's house?" And then the Bible goes on to say that then he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them, that's Mary and Joseph, and was obedient to them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God. Because he had a mommy who taught him discipline in honor of God. Wow. Mary would also have known this in her heart completely. Mary would know this like the back of her hand. The wisdom in Proverbs, training up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mary shows us the necessity of being an outstanding mother in that she had a proper relationship with her family. Personal relationship with God, proper relationship with her family. Mary expressed that in this fact, too, that she was faithful to her children. She was faithful to her children. In John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, the Bible says, near the cross of Jesus, near the cross of Jesus, after she had raised him, after she had let him go into ministry, after she had watched him being beaten, tortured, and then put on the cross, she stood and watched. Verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here's your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. Mary is an example of an outstanding mother in that she had a personal relationship with God. She's also known as an outstanding mother because she had a proper relationship with her family. And thirdly, this morning, if you would please, the third necessity is a willingness to serve God. It's a willingness to serve God. In Luke 1:38, Mary said these simple words, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me as you have said. I am here to serve God in anything and everything. I found a wonderful commentary note on this text, and it said, Mary pledged her commitment to God's will. She faced overwhelming social pressures because she was pregnant with Jesus before marrying Joseph. Her humble willingness is a model of truth for all of us. No one here knows exactly what will be involved in serving the Lord. When a mother comes to becoming a mother, she doesn't know exactly what is going to transpire. Of all the highs and the lows and the plateaus, she doesn't know what's before them, but her heart moves her to be that faithful mother. The constant willingness of an individual's heart will enable that person to be a successful servant of the Lord. No matter what comes, that desire of the heart, I will be God's servant. I will have a personal relationship with the Lord. I will have a proper relationship with all the members of my family. I will serve the Lord. Those are the necessities, moms, of being an outstanding mother. They are all from God. The strength comes from God. The hope comes from God. The power comes from God. The blessings come from God. The hope comes from God. You all right this morning, moms? Huh? May you be blessed as you engage in that. As I wrap this up this morning, before we take time to honor our moms, I want to remind you again, Just what we talked about here briefly. Here's what a personal relationship with God. Here's what a personal relationship with God and a proper relationship with her family and a willingness to serve God. This is what can be produced out of that. Okay, I just want you to know this is what can be produced out of this. I got a text this past week. It was also on Facebook, and it came from Kristen. And we found out it came from Adriana, our second oldest granddaughter. And just to let you know, the girls are homeschooled, okay? And they have assignments every day, and they have to respond. And I don't know exactly what the specific curriculum is, but boy, they got a complete classroom, and they're in it, okay? It shows a page. I don't know what subject they were studying, all right? But at the top of the page is this directive. It says, if I were to put a message in a bottle and throw it in the ocean, it would say what? And why would it say what I wrote on the message? You all right? You know the context now? All right? This is what she wrote. 10-year-old? 10-year-old. 9-year-old. 10-year-old. 11-year-old. I had to ask her that so I could compose myself. This is powerful stuff. This is what our granddaughter wrote. God is with you. He will never leave you. If you invite him in your heart, he will forgive your sins. But you can't do it fakely, because God will already know. Why would you write that? I want people to get to know Christ. So I say to our mothers today, moms, make sure you have a personal relationship with God. It's never too late. It's never too late to make sure that happens, okay? Make sure you have a proper relationship with your family. With God, it's never too late to make sure you have that. And make sure that you're willing to serve the Lord. It's never too late to make sure that you are a servant of God. And if you do, then you will find yourself being an outstanding mother. Because those are the necessities. Those are the necessities for being an outstanding mother. And so today, we wish our moms a happy Mother's Day. And we, as your church family, are going to give you the reward that you've earned. And we're going to let your works, what you've done, as you've lived out your life, the necessities of being an outstanding mother, we're going to let your works bring you praise at the city gate. Consider this the city gate this morning. And this is what I'm asking our moms. If you'd like to darn your mask, you may do that. If not, that's okay. There's plenty of room up here. But I want our moms to come here this morning. Grab a flower, because that's the beauty that exists in you, all right? Grab yourself a cup, different colors there. They're all chock full of wonderful, encouraging, sweet things. And what I know is you go deeper in the cup, the sweeter the stuff gets, okay? The deeper we know our moms, the sweeter they are, okay? That's chamomile tea in these cups, because we all know that you need to just have a peaceful time, okay? And so, moms, would you, if you would please, come grab these, spread out, and I want to pray over you, and then we're going to sing at the end. So as our moms come, let's stand up, congregation, and let's give them praise this morning. Moms, come forward and receive your gifts, and we as your congregation are going to praise you. Come on, you can do it better than that, eh? Grab a cup, grab a flower. Grab a cup, grab a flower. Just kind of spread out here, because I'm going to pray over you. You can look that way, all right? And we're going to pray over you. Somebody get that phone. God's calling, okay? That could be Mary on the other end, huh? Just to let you know, as you dig around in there, there's lifesavers, because mom... you're a lifesaver, okay? There are. It gets sweeter as you go down. Butterscotch Werther's, because you are sweet ladies. And then if you give a woman chocolate, nobody gets hurt. And so you're going to find some Lindor truffles in the bottom of that cup. And so I think we were able to dot I's and cross T's, and the flower just represents your beauty. All right, let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for these beautiful gifts of love. Every mom that's here, and for those that are watching on Facebook, we want you to be blessed as well. Father, just shower our moms with your goodness, with your praise, with your help, with your healing, a fresh dose of your hope and empowerment from your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we lift them up to you, wrap your loving arms around them and hold them close to you, and continue to allow the beauty of your presence to flow through them to each of us, Father, whom you impact in a phenomenal way through their love. Bless them for your glory this day in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, moms. You can slip on back, and we as a congregation are going to sing the last song here this morning. Count your blessings. And my goodness, we've got a lot of blessings right here, don't we? Amen.
Oh, I know, right?
You need a what? Oh. Let's sing together. Count your blessings. What a beautiful day that you've blessed us with. Not only your presence, but an opportunity to remind us of a great blessing that you've given us, and that's our mothers. So, Father, for all that's been accomplished in these moments, we praise you. And I ask now that your Holy Spirit, Father, would just allow your benediction of love, grace, and mercy to fall upon each of us, especially our moms this day, as you dismiss us from this service, but not from your presence. As we go with your very presence, guiding and directing us, your precious hand upon us. For that we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. You are dismissed.